Good morning.
Morning.
I belong to the Lord. I am not my own. And something about honoring Him. I want to honor Him, and that's what we all want to do, isn't it? You know, knowing the Lord as a Savior and wanting to honor Him, and that has to do with every aspect of life, and it has to do with the life of the assembly, the church. And what we want to do for Him, honoring Him in the assembly. And so that's kind of what we have in 1 Timothy. In fact, the theme is instructing God's people in proper conduct and knowing how we should live and how we should honor the Lord and how to honor His people and how to respond to His people in the church, in the assembly. And this is what Paul had to say to Timothy in the first part of chapter 1. Kind of going back to a little bit of review here, that, you know, he wanted them to not have improper doctrine. He wanted Timothy to tell them, you know, you want men to have proper doctrine and proper teaching. And one of the things that he said in verse 5 was, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And I think it's important to keep that in mind. You know, that's kind of the theme of the book, okay? So how does it fit into what we're talking about here in chapter 2? So if you have a Bible with you, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to actually start with verse 8, but the verses we're going to cover are verses 9 through 15, the end of the chapter. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So we want to do what's right and sincere and good in the sight of God, a good conscience and a sincere faith, so we can keep that in perspective of what we talk about in these verses, of which are kind of difficult for some people. But before we start with verse 9, I want to go back to verse 8, because we have something for the men and something for the women today. Now, mostly what we have in the verses that follow are for the women. In fact, we could say there's more for the women than there is for the men, or there are verses for the men. There's more verses that have to do with what he says to the women. But I think even as we look at those verses, you know, men will have some things in those verses that apply to us too, kind of implied there. So I want you to pay attention too. So, but this is for the men to start with, because this is what we covered the last time we were in the book. It has to do with prayer. That session was about prayer. And this verse says, therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. So that was for the men. Now, you know, a lot of times when we have the word men, it means people. But that's not the case in this verse. Most of the time it means people. And really, I mean, the women are to pray too. So it's not as though the men are the only ones praying. But the idea is the men are to be leading in prayer. Okay? But it is the men. This is the males. This is not the word that means all people. This is the word that means the men, the males, not the women. And so the men are to be leading in prayer every place. And lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. So, beginning in verse 9, we're going to have something specifically for the women. This was for the men. Now we're going to have something for the women. And you could say there's more for the women than there are for the men. But here's something that's a question for each one of us here today. Okay? Here's a question we can all answer or think about. A question we should think about and each one of us can answer. Are you doing your job in the assembly? You know, what it would be to honor the Lord and what it would be to be considerate of His people, because that's kind of the context of this book and what we're talking about here in these verses. Are you doing your job in the assembly? Okay, so now here's the first part of the first verse for the women in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. So, we saw what what the men are supposed to do. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing. Okay, so that's the start of the verse. You might be looking ahead in your Bible, and There might be some of you ladies thinking, aha. Yeah, yeah. You know, if you have a husband, you might think, aha. The Bible says I'm supposed to have proper clothing. That's why I like to go shopping. Well, okay, that's all right. But then let's look at the rest of the verse. Modestly and discreetly. And so, okay, so that, now, men, that doesn't necessarily mean cheap. Okay? So, modestly and discreetly. And, it's the idea that it's just not being too showy about it. Okay? So, it's kind of like, you don't want to be trying to show someone up. All right, it's kind of that idea, especially as we go through some of the details here, because it has to do with not being vain about it or vanity. And I don't mean, that piece of furniture that's sometimes used for dressing and, making a person up and that kind of thing. Although it could have to do with it too, but this has to do with not being vain or not being proud or showy or trying to make a person seem better than everyone else. Because you see, when we're considered about the people in the assembly, thinking about them, well, we're not trying to make ourselves better than someone else. And it doesn't mean that a woman can't look nice. I think that's a good thing for a woman to look nice, but it's not just trying to be, showmanship, or showing somebody up as I'm better than you are. Like people in the world who, and men and women sometimes like to wear dazzling clothes or something that's really outlandish or maybe even, something that's revealing things that shouldn't be revealed, things like that. And being really showy about it, that's the kind of thing we want to avoid. So, but the rest of the verse here, okay, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments. And so, all right, so a few of you husbands may be tempted to nudge your wife and say, honey, this is why I never buy you gold or pearls. Well, don't say that, okay? You'll get me in trouble and yourself will be in trouble too. Don't say that. Because, I don't think this is really saying that it's never a good idea to wear, nice things like even gold and pearls and it's not saying that braided hair is a bad thing, but it's again the idea of showmanship and things like that, to trying to make myself better than somebody else. Because there are times when a woman might, want to dress up with some really elaborate things, but not to show somebody else up, in the assembly at least, in this kind of an environment, and costly garments, and so forth. So let's try to put it into context of what we were, what we had for the men. Okay, so we're going to go back to that verse, and verse 8. So now, men, it's your turn, so I don't want you to fall asleep on me here, because remember, we said, for the men, therefore I want the men to in every place to pray. Okay? So for the men, for the males. Now, do you remember how we're to pray? Men, how are we to pray? I had the verse up here a little bit ago. I hope you didn't fall asleep. Maybe you noticed it. Maybe you were here last time and you saw it. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. So, again, the idea is that, okay, we talked about the last time we were in this book, not too long ago, you only shouldn't have some kind of sin issue in our life. Doesn't mean that we don't sin at all, but, having a character or a life that's not in a sin kind of a problem, or we're living in sin, so to speak. So, we need to deal with that before we're praying, and we need to not be in that kind of a condition when we're lifting up holy hands. That's the idea. Holy being right before God. Without wrath and dissension. That is, that we're not angry with someone else in the assembly or at odds with someone. That would not be a good thing, going to God in prayer. How's that going to work? God's not going to be appreciative of that kind of a prayer if we're at odds with someone when we're trying to pray together, you know, especially in a public kind of, you know, a meeting of the church where we're praying, such as like we do on Wednesday night. We want to be together on that and not with dissension, as though we're disagreeing about what we're praying about, you know. So we need to be together. So in that idea that we're being considerate of one another and with the right kind of attitude when we're praying, man, that's what we want to do. So when we're thinking about what's for the women, then it helps us a little bit. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold and pearls and so forth. So it's about the proper conduct. You know, because the next verse kind of helps us with that. You know, it's not just about the clothing, okay? So I think this kind of helps to put that in perspective a little bit too. That it's not just about what a person wears, men and women for that matter, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. So, you know, it's even more important what we do. I mean, I kind of noticed this too, that the word proper, well, it's good works, isn't it? That's what matters the most. But then there's also the word proper here. We have proper clothing and proper works. Good works, it's proper. Now, that they're actually two different Greek words. And the first word has to do with what is orderly. And the second word has to do with what's fitting or suitable. But the, at least in English, the word proper is in both of those. So, you know, what we wear and what we do, they should be consistent, right? Should be compatible. And so I think if we all do that, men included, you know, with what we wear, how we present ourselves, you know, and it doesn't mean some of us can't be a little bit unique in what we do or what we wear or how we present ourselves, but if we're thinking of being considerate of people in the assembly and not showing them up, and of the fact that we want to give glory to God, don't we? If we can think of it in that light, you know, if that's a question, if we can answer a question this way, you know, if what I'm wearing and what I present myself, is that glorifying God, and is it being considerate of others in the assembly? If it is, then I think we can be okay with that. And we don't have to worry about being dogmatic about dress and what we wear and, you know, the specifics of these kinds of things. This assembly is about being considerate of one another, working together in prayer and other things, and not trying to be better than someone else, you know, someone else in the assembly. Sometimes I think people are a little tempted to just kind of step back and let other people kind of take the lead and run the show and maybe not do the job that they're supposed to do. I mean, it's kind of easy to do that. Let somebody else do what they're, you know, let them do it. And men, I mean, we're to lead in prayer, for example. And sometimes, you know, we have a tendency, to step back and let somebody else take the leading and that kind of thing. But I think that sometimes that's an idea of, well, I don't want to call attention to myself, you know? But, you know, in a way that might be kind of false humility. If I'm just not doing what God's asking me to do just because, well, I don't feel like I'm very good at that. I mean, if it's false humility, then that's kind of the opposite of humility, isn't it? And if it's false humility, the opposite of humility, that means it's pride. It's kind of, I'm kind of being afraid of doing what God might be asking me to do. Let's look at the next couple of verses here. And some verses that have to do with roles in the assembly and maybe some things that are kind of difficult. Maybe some difficult verses in the Bible. But I think if we keep it in the context of, you know, what we're doing for each other and trying to be considerate of one another, it can be a help to us. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness, but I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Now, guys, too, this can help us because, well, it helps us to know not just what the woman is supposed to do, but what the men are supposed to do, too, right? So if the women are not to teach a man or to exercise authority over a man, well, then that's for the men to do, isn't it? To be ones teaching, at least in a meeting of the church like this, or in a place where we have both men and women. There are other places that women can teach and maybe even exercise authority, but not in a place where we're teaching men. That's for the men. And so the men are to be the ones to be taking the lead, to be taking authority, and to be the ones who are teaching when it's involving the whole assembly and involving the men. And again, there can be things outside the church. There can be other roles. Now, there's similar roles in the family that we're going to look at in a minute here. But when it comes to the church, God wants the men to take the lead. And this is why men lead in prayer. You know, we're leading. Let's look at some other verses here that have to do with this. It says, "For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." So why does it, you know, I mean, it might seem as we're reading that Paul is kind of pointing out, well, you know, the woman was the one who was deceived, as though it was her fault. But, you know, and I think when we start to think about this a little bit, and this is why I have Adam underlined here, it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. And I had to be reminded of the fact that, you know, I had to go back to Genesis chapter 2, and I think it's verses 16 and 17, where it tells us when it was that God said, "You shall not eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Probably didn't say that right. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so he said, "Don't eat that. If you eat that fruit, you will die." He said that to Adam. Eve wasn't even in the picture. She was still in Adam's rib. So it was Adam's job to lovingly let Eve know, this is what you don't do. This is the fruit that you don't eat. And if you do it, you're going to die. Now, maybe, you know, there's probably a better way to explain it. But that was Adam's job, to let her know that and to make it clear to her. And Adam didn't do his job. And I think, you know, that has a lot to do with, even though Eve was the first one to eat of the fruit, Adam was the one that should have explained that and made it clear to her that that's not what you do. And so Adam didn't do his job. That's why, but you could say, well, Eve was at fault too. But Adam is the one who's, you know, we thought it was, he's the one who's really responsible for sin coming into the world, or the sin of humanity at least, because he didn't do his job. It was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. Adam didn't do his job. And, you know, Eve didn't do her job too, but I think this helps us to understand that, you know, Adam was the one who was first, and just because, well, you could say, well, men still don't really do their job, or at least not very well, and that's always been the case ever since Adam. It started with Adam, and men don't do that now either, don't do our jobs very well, but that doesn't absolve us from doing the job that God's given us to do. And so it was Adam, and that's why it's mainly his fault. And I know it's probably easy for me to say this, somebody who's not even married and doesn't have a family, and you know, I don't have the experience of, you know, doing that kind of a job in a family, so to speak. So, you know, some of you men might be thinking, Mark, you have no idea what it's like and how difficult it is and what we have to go through. And there's probably a few women that are maybe thinking, don't say anything, okay? Just keep this to yourself. But some of the ladies are probably thinking, yeah, Mark, you don't know what I have to go through. And so, the ladies are definitely right, and the women, men are probably right too, that I don't really know what that's like, but, this is what the Bible says, okay? So, this is why we're talking about it. It's something that's in the Word of God. And, men are supposed to lead in the assembly. We have roles for men and women, and sometimes it may not be very comfortable for us. I know this is against what a lot of the world would say. Again, there's differences in roles perhaps in the world than there are in the assembly, but this is what God has for the assembly. And men, I'll admit that we're not always comfortable with doing the right thing and taking the lead and that kind of thing. I mean, there's a lot of things that I do and that I'm not necessarily comfortable with. I mean, I wasn't comfortable going to New Zealand. That's not something it's not like me to, decide, oh, are we going to go to New Zealand? And then the very next week I'm on an airplane, and on my way to New Zealand. That's not what I do normally, okay? And there's things but I'm glad that I did it, and I think that's what the Lord had given me to do. I didn't tell Y2 or Chal or that I was not comfortable going to New Zealand. Now some of you might go ahead and tell them. That's the way it goes, but I'm glad that I did, because I think that's what the Lord had me to do. And that when I got there, and there were some things that I did while I was there, and the plane tickets, getting the passports for them, and all those kinds of things. There were a lot of things that weren't very comfortable, and that was, kind of some tense moments, some anxiety. I know I'm not supposed to be anxious, but God didn't call us to a life of comfort. And so some of these things may not be comfortable for us, but it's what God wants us to do. And that's the roles that He's given for us, for men and women. There's a corresponding distinction in the family, with husband and wife. And I probably should have had this tied to one of the earlier verses, but don't look this up, but you can write it down if you like. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verses 1 through 7. Peter has some things to say. It has to do more with the husband and wife. And Paul is using an example of a husband and wife here with Adam and Eve. And Peter is more emphasizing the family situation. We're talking about the assembly here. But some of the language in regard, it's really kind of one of the earlier verses that's not on here, that has to do with the clothing and the things that women are supposed to wear, almost the same exact language that Peter uses in 1 Peter chapter 3 is what Paul uses here. Some people think that Paul was a single man, and so he was biased, and he was way out in left field, and so, maybe he wasn't, you got to be a little careful about what he says. Well, no, he's an apostle. He was an apostle. He's giving us part of the Word of God here. And Peter's doing the same thing. He says almost exactly the same thing. So it's not as though, one man's saying something different. It's in the Bible. And this is what God wants for us. So Peter's talking mainly about the family. And Paul's using an example here of husband and wife. But we're talking about the assembly. So here's the things that are the job in our assembly. And so if we ask the question of ourselves, why do I dress in a certain way? How do I present myself? Is it to try and glorify God? And, is it to be considerate of others in the assembly? And if we can answer, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do here, well, then we don't have to be so worried about exactly what we wear and being so dogmatic about it. We don't have to worry about that so much. Men are supposed to be leading. That's what Adam was supposed to do, and he didn't do his job. He was supposed to be teaching and helping Eve to understand, why she shouldn't eat of the fruit of that tree, and he didn't do his job. And it's not saying that, okay, men, there's a proper way. There is a proper way for us to be teaching and to leading to be leading, and to be in a position of authority, or at being those that are having authority. It's not as though we're dictators, you know. We shouldn't be doing it like that. That's not the proper means of doing our role or doing our job. And women, I want to make clear that it's not as though you have to be taking abuse from your husband or any man. That's not what this is talking about. But I think in generally, the way we approach how God wants us to respond to one another, it can be a help to us. There are many examples, by the way, and you know, we're talking about that women can be, in some cases, maybe have some authority, maybe have be teaching. I mean, there's examples even in 1 and 2 Timothy. We may get to some of those that talk about places where women can teach and should be teaching. That's part of their job. And things in which they can take roles of being leaders and things like that. Examples in the New Testament where they had prominent roles in evangelizing and in ministering to people. And we're not going to go through that, but there's a lot of... This isn't being restrictive, really. This is just the way that God would have women and men responding in the assembly in particular, or at least in assembly meetings, maybe I should put it that way. But I want to back up to verses 11 and 12. So just, I mean, we've got the verses on here, but just so we focus on those two verses for a moment, because this may help us a little bit as I'm thinking about how this can be a help. Women, this is how this can be a help to us men, for example. When we think about how a woman should be receiving instruction and so forth. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. You know, it goes back to the fact that it's Adam's job. It's Adam's job to teach. It's Adam's job to be an authority and to lead. And Adam didn't do his job to start with. But I want to just help us understand, women, a suggestion here is be careful how you point out to us men when we're not doing our job. I mean, we need to know that. And usually we do. But, you know, I don't have the luxury of having a wife to point those things out to me, okay? So when I mess up. But usually I do know when I'm messing up, not doing my job as a man. But it can be kind of difficult for a man. And sometimes we men don't respond very well when, you know, we're just... a woman's nagging at us or something like that, you know. I mean, so I know it can be frustrating, but I think this is part of the reason that, you know, you can be easy on us, I guess. And it's easier for a woman to be easy on a man than it is for a man to be easy on a woman. So men, that's kind of a suggestion as to how you can respond to your wives and to the women as well. You know, I usually know when I mess up, but it can be embarrassing. And men don't like to be failures. And I failed. I mean, even as a single man, I failed in my role at times. And I haven't always done what I'm supposed to do, taking the lead, or even in teaching, or something like that. And I can even think of a time, and I should preface this by saying that I'm going to mention someone that not a person in this room knows who she is, okay? So don't think about relationships I've been in and think about, oh, I wonder if he's talking about, you know, so-and-so. Now, you don't know this person. You don't know her. So don't even think that. But I was told by a woman one time, you blew it. And I think that's about the way she said it, too. And it was embarrassing. And, you know, she was right. Frankly, I don't think she was quite as right as she thought she was, but she was right. And so, you know, and fortunately I didn't blow up and, you know, just really come back at her really hotly and just really, you know, try to get back at her, you know, but you know, it was embarrassing. And, you know, basically she's saying, you didn't do your job. And she was right. I messed up. And yet, sometimes I recognize, and I'm kind of this way too, sometimes we men might say, well, we might just kind of think, okay, fine. I goofed up. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm just not going to do that anymore. And that's the way sometimes we are. And so we just go away and hide, and we still don't do our job. It's even worse. And so I think that's, if, you know, ladies, that might be kind of helpful here. I know it's hard. How do I gently bring it to my, you know, husband or somebody that he's not doing his job? But, you know, I frankly, with that lady that I'm talking about, that was the end of that relationship between her and I. And I can tell you, I'm kind of glad it was. Because I don't think that would have worked too well. I don't think I really want to be with a woman like that. But that's kind of what I think is going on here, and why these kinds of roles, it can be a help to us. I think we can be a help to each other. That's just an example in my life. I was going to use a military example, perhaps, and I don't think we have time for that. But, you know, you can ask somebody who's been in the military, or Brandon, for example, maybe after the meeting, because, you know, you just think in the military how it seems to work better. It's not necessarily, it's not really an issue of someone being superior or more important, really, than somebody else, although it does have to do with rank in the military. It's really better when someone's giving directions and someone is following those directions, okay? It just works better that way. Now, it's, I wanted to go into that a little farther, but you know, it's not proper for a soldier to talk back to an officer of higher rank. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, there might be ways to have a discussion about things that don't seem quite right, and some instructions that are given, but you know, there's a way to show respect in that too. And I think it's good to recognize too what it says here, that I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Because that does imply that there are opportunities for a woman to teach or maybe even exercise authority in other ways, okay? Not over a man in a situation like this in the meeting of the church, but to remain quiet. Because really I'm told in the Greek language for this word authority that it does kind of leave that door open. And that's really kind of what I understand is that the Greek allows for that, that women can be teaching and perhaps having some authority or responsibility in other ways rather than just in a public way over men. So when men don't do their job and women try to start doing the job of the men, the assembly can start having problems. Now, there are other churches. I'm not saying our church is like this. I don't think it is, but you know, you may have a different opinion, but there are churches out there where there are women who look around and they think, where are the men? And there's no one here to do what they're supposed to do, so I guess we got to do it. The women try to do the job of the man, and then, you know, there's problems. And there's dissension, and there's sort of like this rivalry that's going on. And so we each need to do our jobs in the assembly. We may not always like the job that we're doing. It may not always be comfortable. Before I retired, there were a few jobs that I had that I didn't really like too much, or there were at least responsibilities that I didn't really care for too much. But, you know, it was the job that I was supposed to do, and it's not like, okay, I'm just doing it because that's what I'm supposed to do. But I think when we think about, well, you know, that's what the Lord wants us to do in the assembly, then it can help us. And, our society is obsessed with competition, that we always want to try to be better than somebody else. And so that's kind of what this rivalry kind of thing can lead to, that we want to avoid. And that's why we're talking about this. But thinking about that, even in the sports world, for example, you know, I hear coaches, like football coaches, saying people need to do their jobs, you know. Bill Belichick is one of the greatest football coaches of all time, the coach of the New England Patriots. And that's something that he said. New England wasn't all that great this year. They didn't make the playoffs, but there's normally a really good team, and he's still one of the greatest coaches of all time. And he says, Everybody needs to do their job. Each player needs to do their job. Okay. Well, hey, in the assembly, we need to each be doing our job. And if we do our job, then each member of the team, like in the sports world, if the team, if the member of the team, he or she does his job, everyone, his or her job, everyone does their job, this team is successful. And in the assembly, if we all do our job, we're going to be healthy and growing. And so each of us needs to be doing our job. So we'll just take for a couple minutes here to talk about the last verse in the section. And I think, oh yeah, okay, before we do that though. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Remember, that's our goal. And we want to be thinking of terms of having a good heart, having a good conscience, a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. If we keep that in mind, you know, we don't have to be so dogmatic. We can just do it the way God wants us to do it. So the last verse, but women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. And you might have, you know, in your translation, it may say saved. Women will be saved through the bearing of children. And if that's, you know, if it means saved, then it's really not, it doesn't have to do with salvation in a spiritual sense. Or salvation is, you know, having eternal life. That, not that kind of salvation. This translation has the word preserved. And so here's my thought about this particular verse. There's some other views too, but it's kind of the idea that women are the ones who bear children. And they're honored and appreciated for that. It's something that's reserved for women. Only women can have children. Men, we can't do that, even if we wanted to. I mean, if you don't like your job, you know, teaching or leading or having authority, try having children. You can't do it. Men can't do that. It's something only women can do, and it's something that's very special. And really, that's why we honor mothers, you know, when we come to Mother's Day. It's, none of us would be here if it wasn't for our mother. And the human race wouldn't be growing, and, you know, it wouldn't exist if it wasn't for mothers. It's something very special. And it's something that's very honorable and something that we should appreciate. And, you know, I mean, okay, men can't give birth. You know, a lot of times a husband likes to be there when it's time for the child to come and, you know, to be a support to the mother. She's the one that has to go through all the pain, though. And you know, she's only the only one that can do it. And I'm kind of glad. I couldn't do that. Men can't do that. I mean, men, we cannot even conceive of the possibility of being able to give birth. You know, it's just not possible for us to do that. So, but women, we honor and appreciate women for the fact that they are the ones that have children, can bear children, and there's other things that we'll come to later in the book that they can do as well. We each need to do our jobs. And if we do that, we'll have a healthy, growing assembly. And that's what we want, right? Let's each do our jobs. And, you know, and when it comes to dress and things like that, yes, we can all be a little bit unique in the way we dress and what way we present ourselves. But if we're thinking of it in terms of being considerate of one another and of how we're going to give glory to God, then it's a good thing. All right, let's pray. Father, we recognize that we all fail from time to time in doing the jobs that you've given us to do, the responsibilities, the roles that you've given us, and we need help with that, but we also recognize the importance of being considerate of one another when we do mess up. And so, even when we don't, and thinking about how we can be doing that which is considerate of others in the assembly, and also giving glory to you. And so if we do that, just help us in doing that by your Holy Spirit, and to be patient, and to be reacting in a right way when we know we've done wrong and it's pointed out to us. And so that we might be those that would be doing our jobs and doing that which would be pleasing to you. That's what we really want to do as we think about having the proper conduct in the assembly. And so help us with that, we pray, and we do this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.